It's a blessing that we're together here on a Sunday afternoon. It's my understanding that this Mass was in existence a number of years back, and now we've kind of brought it out of retirement this year for that reason that we sure need hope and healing. And we lift up to our Lord, and we remember, and we place in our presence once again the lives of our children that have gone before us. The first reading has a very powerful message right off the bat, and God wants us to know a very particular message. God says to the prophet Isaiah, "For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet." And we think of that, this idea of silence and quiet, and the painful reality of that. Because all of us are here or know someone who's experienced maybe that painful silence of looking at an ultrasound, and all of a sudden there's no heartbeat. Or being in the hospital with a child and being with them as they take their last breaths. Maybe it was the gut-wrenching news of suicide. Maybe it was a tragedy. Maybe it was cancer. Whether it was 3 months in the womb or 60 years old, a child, all of a sudden there's that silence, that sense of quiet. And we think of their voice that we can still hear in our mind. We can think of their laugh. We can even dream about where they would be right now if they were alive. And it's that deep sense of quiet and that sense of silence that kind of brings us right down to our knees. And then what's the message of God within that? For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Because isn't it the reality that when we face grief and we face loss, what's many times the easiest thing to do? The emotions are so deep and it hurts so much that all we can do is be quiet in a way, and we're silent, and we don't know how to process our emotions, and we're sometimes get sick of people asking, "How are you doing?" because we're sick of putting on a happy face as if everything's all okay, right? And so there's something natural that brings us, with the silence of a child, a silence within our own hearts. And so that's why these moments together now, and God's word to us, "I will not be silent. I will not be quiet," speak to the heart of the gospel message. Because more than ever in the face of tragedy, do we need each other. More than ever in the face of tragedy, do we need to speak. More than ever do we have to resist that temptation to say, "Let's just move on." As if someone lived and then we just move. Impossible, right? Impossible. And so we continue to speak of our loved ones. We don't just move on as if they're gone and never and forgotten. No, we speak of them. We love them. We carry them with us. We cannot be silent. We cannot be quiet. God is at work. God is at work. We think about just the healing process. And so often, one of the gut-wrenching elements of the healing process, especially in the loss of a child, is that gut-wrenching thought of, what if? What if I did something different in that particular moment or in that day or whatever? What if I would have done something different? And isn't that the temptation of all of us, that if we just kind of found out what we could do different, if we did this or that, everything would be okay? We all have that tendency to kind of want to control things, right? Like if we just could nail it down and we could say, then we'd have a sense of control, right? Because we all always want to be in control. And in the midst of that, God speaks healing in the midst of that, because these situations are out of our control. And we surrender that control to God. The message of the gospel today is a beautiful one, and it's one of complete hope. Because many times in the midst of this silence of our loved ones and that pain of grief, and the tendency to close in on ourselves, the tendency not to speak out, even to those closest to us, to just kind of bury it. It's interesting because sometimes it seems like God is giving us the silent treatment as well. That sometimes we're reaching out to God and we're saying why and we're looking and it seems like God is giving us kind of a silent treatment in a way. And the message of the gospel speaks a sense of hope. It's the wedding feast at Cana. We know the story well, water into wine. But one of the things that speaks very deeply about it is that the bride and the groom, they actually never knew that they were out of wine. Like Jesus and Mary. Mary noticed the problem and went to Jesus before they even knew that they were out of wine. They took care of the problem without even that couple knowing kind of that crisis situation that they're in. And how does that speak to us? How does that speak to us, that sense of right now within our families, as we open our hearts to one another, as we open our hearts to God, as we resist the temptation to just bury it, to just be quiet, to just be silent? Mary and Jesus are at work. They're at work in a deep way, a way perhaps that we don't know on this side of things, but they're at work in one way or the other. And we trust that promise that God gives us in the gospel today. For Zion's sake, I will not be quiet. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be silent. We can't be silent. We've got to resist that temptation to just forget, to just move on. We hold on with hope. We trust our loved ones to the Lord. But we reach out. We reach out to those close to us. We remember. We trust them to the loving mercy of God. God finishes through the prophet Isaiah of saying, as a bridegroom delights in his bride, so does our God delight in you. And so Jesus delights in us, and Jesus delights in our loved ones. And we say, until we meet again, Jesus, strengthen us. Jesus, continue to bring us hope. Jesus, bring us healing wherever we are on this journey.